The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
We are waiting word from the press conference that is scheduled to get going here and scheduled to get going in a minute or so. Now, these things don't always... In fact, I'm glad it didn't go too early, to be honest with you, because sometimes that does happen, too. You got to be careful down there, Tyler. They say it's a certain time. Show up 15 minutes early. I've learned that the hard way over the years. And then don't be surprised if it starts 15 minutes late.
You know, I suppose just about anything could happen in this presser. I suppose we could hear that somebody's lost a job, and that's a possibility. I do think that there's a lot of people out there that are hoping that that's what we hear right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Give me what you think people are hoping the most.
Oh, Vic Fan just fired.
So it's not
burn it down.
It's George Payton that steps up to the podium today.
Yeah. I mean, if you put out a poll right now on Twitter and you asked, what are you hoping for? And you gave the options and it said, Vic Fangio removes himself as defensive coordinator. Pat Shurmur is fired. Tom McMahon is fired.
Okay. Give me the ultimate.
Vic Fangio.
So George Payton steps up and he makes.
So he says, hey, listen, we've had to make a tough change. Middle of the year, you know, when I got here, I felt the duty to see things through with Vic and the staff. Really appreciate everything they've done, but this is not the standard that I'm trying to build for the George Payton Denver Broncos era.
Oh, he goes third person.
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be awesome.
That's right.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that's the ultimate. I don't think that's going to happen. Of course not.
Anything else besides Fangio that Payton would be announcing?
Wow. No, but I did hear Stoke and Zach talking about this. I thought it was a good question. Is this an appropriate time, regardless of change, that George Payton should address the media? Just like whether you're going to fire somebody or not, would this make sense? Like, hey, yeah, the temperature's really, really hot. GM, go up there, and if change is the choice, well, you could talk about change, but if change is not the choice, you could go up there and you could explain, hey, Broncos country, I get it. I know I'm still kind of the new guy around here. I just want you to know that I'm aware of what's going on out there. We're all aware. We're working hard. We will not let go of what the standards have previously been around here. We'll find a way to get back to it. But for now, the best way to do that is to stay the course. Like that would be an option as well. But George Payton just getting up there and addressing the media, I agree with Stokes. Stokes said it. Sometimes you hear somebody go up there and they just explain their point of view and you're like, okay, at least I heard their point of view. At least I know that they hear us. At least I know that they're acknowledging it, and I heard their point of view.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think for the fans, I love Mark and Mike, the lanterns and pitchforks and swords was Mark Schlereth's latest one, is Payton walks up and he says, thanks to Vic, we're moving on. Pat Shurmur has also been relieved, as has Tom McMahon. In the interim, Mike Munchak will be the head coach. Chris Cooper will be elevated offensive line coach. Mike Shula will be the offensive coordinator, and Ed Donatell will take over the defensive play calling duties. And, you know, we're promoting other assistants to other places. And, you know, we have decided to move on. Or we're putting Teddy Bridgewater on IR. Putting Teddy Bridgewater on IR because he is hurt. And Drew will be the starting quarterback. And we've got 10 days to get ready for Washington, and we'll tell the fans that we haven't given up on this season and we're making changes to hopefully stem this losing streak, and we'll see what happens.
You know, I never, ever want to lose touch of how hard this job was. That's good. I mean, I was just starting to say that it's sitting here in this chair for the rest of my life, as long as they'll allow me to talk in this microphone, I never want to forget how hard that job was. And it's really, really dang hard.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in it, I wish that people would be sensitive to how hard it is.
It is, yeah.
And I acknowledge that. But I also understand that I can acknowledge that this is a really hard job for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's hard for Vic. It's hard for Pat Shurmur. It's hard for Tom McMahon. I get it, and I am respectful towards that. But plain and simple, it's not good enough, right?
Yeah.
And this is a big boys league. Yeah. I got cut. I got traded. Like, teams moved on from me. Teams gave me contracts. Some believed me. Some did not. When I didn't live up to the standard, I lost my job, right?
Yeah, and by the way, this isn't just seven games. It's two seasons in seven games. It's an entire offseason where you decided to stay with Pat Shurmur. Okay? You know, you moved on from Rich Gangarello for Pat Shurmur, and then you stuck with Pat Shurmur. All right? I mean, you stay with basically everybody. I mean, what changes did they make in their coaching staff from last year to this year? Nothing.
Literally nothing. Yeah. I thought for sure that Tom McMahon would be the only change. But then when John Elway stepped aside, it was like, okay, well, he fell on the sword, so the rest of us could continue it. I don't think that he fell on the sword. Maybe the sword was pushed. I don't know. But bottom line, the sword went somewhere.
Yeah, the biggest change was John Elway and Matt Russell. That was the biggest change. I was surprised to even see John made to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh gosh, okay. I didn't even notice.
He was there.
Okay.
Yep. They showed him in a box. He had a tie on. John's been around. You know, he's not, trust me, John.
Well, he's not sweating bolts about anything right now.
No, Tyler. No. Are you kidding me?
Quite frankly, I guess more or less he's earned that right. He had to sweat the bullets, and
that's done.
You know, the bullets are over.
Yeah, I mean, he may be sitting back like, ah, you thought it was easy, huh?
Right.
And listen, had you moved on from Drew Lock because you liked Teddy and you drafted a quarterback, Fields or Mac Jones, doesn't matter who I liked, matters who you liked, there would be a different energy and feeling going on here. It probably would have been like, ah, we gave it a good run. Now let's go with Fields or Mac. This would be the perfect place with 10 days to get ready for the next game. It'd be like, hey, man, but thank you to Teddy. We're going to let him get healthy. It's time, and we just move on. Well, it would have made perfect sense right now.
You know,
there would have been a totally different energy.
What I just said about I never want to lose touch of how hard this game is, that totally applies to Teddy Bridgewater, man. Like, I look at Teddy, and I say tip of the cap to you, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly.
Good dude.
You did a lot of good stuff, man. You came out, you played three games, a whole lot better than anybody thought you were going to. I did predict during those three games that he was going to come back to planet Earth. He was going to come back to the median of his career.
You were right.
He did. This is exactly where I thought he was going to play. Unfortunately for Teddy, the play around him has not been good enough for him to sustain his job because, unfortunately, the team is no longer competitive. So when I say that I don't want to lose touch of how hard the job is, I say that with sensitivity to Teddy. Like I don't think that it's your fault, but something does need to change, and I would change the quarterback as well.
Yeah, we're vamping a little bit. It's a little bit more interesting the more time goes on.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
I'll give you that a little bit. Usually, I'll give it another 4 minutes until I get like, Usually they're pretty good on, there's nothing else.
Especially on a day off.
I know.
There's no practice. There's nothing going on.
That's right. So you pushed it back an hour. There's no practice.
Players aren't in the building, right? I mean, they got the weekend off, I believe.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure after Thursday night game, they just get the weekend off.
Yeah, I think it feels right, but I don't know if it's, I don't know when the weekend starts.
So some coaches change it. They either ask them to stay one extra day or they come back early one extra day.
Right.
I'm actually not sure what they're doing.
I'm not sure either.
We'll find out here in a few minutes.
I think they could be within their rights to have their players come in today. And then I think there's a mandatory amount of time.
So they have to give them 4 days.
Yeah, there's something, you know, like they don't have a choice.
Right.
But I think they could have them come in today if they wanted to. I mean, you could come in and just rip them, just watch film all day and just, you know.
Maybe it's 3 days. I think it's 3 days.
I think you're right.
I think by the CBA, they have to give them 3 days.
3 days would make the most. If they were in today, 3 days would make, well.
So you get Saturday, Sunday, Monday, come back Tuesday.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't, because Tuesday's the day off.
Well, because the Halloween party is Monday night. So why would they have the Halloween party
when
and then have to work?
Guys aren't here, right?
Right. And why would they have the Halloween party and then have to work the next day? That doesn't make sense. You don't want to do that.
That's a great point.
By the way, the optics of the Halloween party are stellar.
I've done my best, and I still stand by it, that I don't think the Vaughn's doing anything wrong with the Halloween party.
All right, I don't want to get into that. It's okay.
But I mean, just point being, I mean, everything sucks, right?
Sure.
When everything sucks.
Have a fun night. What does it matter?
I mean, I was more or less going to say I've never been more sympathetic towards your viewpoint.
Oh, sorry. Don't mean to interrupt.
I stand by it that I don't think Vaughn's doing anything wrong. They planned this thing 6 months ago, but seriously, if we're talking about the optics of the situation,
it doesn't look good.
Not good timing.
Yeah.
But do optics matter? I'm kind of hitting a point of depression here, man, because I'm sitting here anticipating this presser. And, you know, if they were to come out and just give us some change, something, change the quarterback, change offensive coordinator, change defensive coordinator, change something, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anything insane. And it really doesn't. Nobody even has to lose a job. If they change something, I think we'd walk out the other side of it being like, okay, it's been bad, but we've still won 3 games. We're right about where we thought we were going to be. They recognize that something needs to change, and we'd look for an optimistic viewpoint on the other side. But I'm sitting here feeling a little bit depressed because although it is getting odd that we're now close to 3-10.
I'm seeing it on the web there. The camera's rolling, right? DenverBroncos.com. Hmm. Okay.
All right. Official prediction. Who walks up to the podium?
I don't know. 10 minutes late on this?
Who walks up to the podium?
It's getting a little bit more interesting.
Who walks up to the podium?
My boring prediction is Fangio walks up to the podium. But, I got my eyeball on the screen over there. It's getting a little bit. I'm okay. At first, when I heard they had pushed it back. Well, at first, when I looked for the email, you know, they do. Usually, this presser, by the way, even for road games, Tyler, has been around 11:15. But the game was at night, so okay, fine. I wasn't surprised when it first came out. It was like 2 o'clock. I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. I mean, not a bummer, but that's during our show. I was like, okay, I can't be there, but fine. We'll, you know, be on the air. That's all good. And then I'm hearing, oh, we got pushed back an hour. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's crazy how often there are problems with flights for NFL teams. It's actually not that unusual. You can't believe that quirky things happen, but
happens at least 3 or 4 times a year.
Quirky things happen. And the planes are delayed or sit on runways or I don't know. I mean, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, okay. But here we are at 3:11. Rate band. 3:11 and,
Here's a good question.
Okay.
This is, I'm taking a suggestion, turning it into my own off the text line, but what would be the biggest cop-out change they could give you? So they change something just to say they changed something.
That's a good question. They would fake an injury.
Well, okay, actually, I'm laughing, but hold on, okay.
Somebody would be on IR.
Well, think about that for a second. I mean, very specifically, that could be Teddy.
It could be, but the cop-out injury would be like Graham Glasgow's on IR. You know, we've had a problem with our pass rush or our run blocking or whatever. And they would take an offensive lineman who hasn't played all that well and fake. That would be the biggest, you asked me the biggest cop-out.
Right.
You'd fake an injury to Graham Glasgow to go, you know, oh, yeah. Now we'll be better if we get Mootsy in there more. That's the biggest cop out. But some other reasonable like things. Yeah, Teddy's on IR. Teddy is now going to go on IR.
I actually don't think that's insane.
Yeah,
that could happen.
Hey, there's damage to Teddy that we discovered, and
if that happens, that was not Vic Fangio's choice. Let me make that loud and clear. There's no way that Vic wants to make that choice. And again, I say that with respect to Teddy because I do respect what he did.
Yeah,
but something needs to change.
Yeah.
And if that happens, that means that George Payton more or less had a conversation with Vic. Hey, I want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Vic said, not doing it. George said, okay, I got to do what I got to do. Teddy's on the IR.
Happens all the time.
He's got a foot.
I've told the story a million times. I'll tell it quickly. It was about 7 years ago, and there was a defensive lineman. He had come back from injury. We talked to him. We said, how you feeling? He goes, feeling pretty good. Feeling good to go. Next day, he puts on season-ending IR.
Mm-hmm.
Teams do it all the time.
Absolutely.
It's a way to stow players and to manipulate the roster. And oh, here we go. Oh, well, chicken fingers. You got me, you know, get ready. What do you think I am? You think I'm like Case Keenum said, you don't have to get ready when you're always ready.
He didn't say.
Here we go to the podium.
Sorry for the delay, guys.
That's all right. Okay. Any more updates on Kaiser and then Bond and any other new injuries?
Yeah, I think Kaiser will miss it. Excuse me, will miss a couple weeks. I'm not sure on Bond yet. He has an ankle sprain. I think the next 4 or 5 days will tell us exactly where he's at. Who's the other one?
Any new injuries?
Purcell has a thumb injury that they're still deciding on what to do with. He could miss a couple weeks.
Vic, you said last night that you got to coach better as a staff. As you look at your guys in that room, do you see any blind spots that they're not covering enough details with their position groups that are concerning?
Now, what's most concerning is, you know, our fundamentals were lacking in that game, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And when that's lacking, that's poor coaching on our part. And that starts with me. And we've got to do a better job of getting the fundamental things taught and executed.
Well, besides tackling, is that assignments, lining up? What goes into that?
No, not so much the assignments and lining ups. It's, you know, being where you're supposed to be at all times and being there for the different type of plays. You know, they run the stretch play, you got to stay in your gap. They run a boot play, you got to be there for the boot. You got to have good eyes, you know, and be disciplined when you play a team that's good with the boot game, good with the screen game, good with the play action game. And we didn't get that done well enough.
Coach, do you think Von Miller put too much pressure on himself coming into this game with the statements he had earlier in the week?
Maybe he did. I think you'd have to ask him that, you know.
What did you think as a coach about him going out on a limb like that?
Yeah, well, my style's always been not to say very much, you know. Do your talking on the field. It's not my style.
Jonathan Cooper had a couple near big plays yesterday. What'd you evaluate him, and just so far this season, how'd you evaluate him?
Yeah, I thought he came in there when he got to play a lot when Vaughn went out, that he did a pretty good job. He came loose a couple times in the rush, you know, got too high on the tackle where he could have sacked the quarterback there, backed up, you know, prior to the half. He's got to stay in the strike zone. Thought he could play the edge a little bit better, more consistently. But overall, for a young guy thrown in there, you know, pretty much full time in the second half, I thought he did fine.
How about Curtis Robinson? You talked a little bit about him on prior, earlier in the week. How do you feel like he did being thrown into the fire there?
He did okay. You know, wasn't good enough. But, you know, our whole defense wasn't good enough yesterday. And, you know, and he was part of our whole defense.
You had a lot of injuries.
Excuse me.
You've been doing this for a long time. The outside nose is growing. Do you feel pressure on yourself in terms of doing a better job? Do you get the season back on track in terms of your own status, your coaching status?
Yeah, I'm not worried about my coaching status. What I'm worried about is the this team and doing anything and everything we can to get our guys coached up to play better. And that's my only focus.
You guys have had a lot of linebacker injuries. Kaiser's the latest. We look outside the organization to bring somebody else in here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, George and his staff is, you know, looking at that.
How do you prevent yourself?
A lot of soft tissue injuries. Do you look at Lando's operation and see if there's anything that can be tweaked there? Do you look at it like you look at anything else in your team?
Yeah, we look at everything. I mean, as you guys know, we took a deep dive on the injuries this offseason. We've done anything and everything we can to mitigate injuries. It's, you know, we haven't mitigated them enough, obviously. But we do look at it constantly, yes.
How do you make sure that you don't put too much excuse on all the injuries that are happening, specifically with the team and an inside linebacker?
Yeah, there's no excuses with injuries. You know, it's part of the game. We're not the only team in the NFL that has injuries. Next man up mentality. Us as coaches has got to get those guys ready to play and play good.
Nick, I know bye weeks can be a lot of self-scouting, but with it being a mini-bye, will you guys maybe do a little more self-scouting and see about changing things operationally or coaching responsibilities or anything?
Yeah, we'll take these few days to self-scout for sure, and we'll take a look at everything moving forward.
Is the expectation
ideas, changes, anything like that in light of the slump?
In regards to what?
Well, operationally with the coaching staff, working with the players.
Yeah, no, not at this time.
To inspire, I guess.
We always try and do a better job of inspiring them. I don't have a problem with our efforts or our intents. We just have to do a better job of coaching these guys to be more fundamentally sound.
Hey, Vic, in your past, when you guys have hit a rut on defense at your various stops, do you get out of it with lineup changes, or do you simplify the scheme to fit with the available personnel?
Yeah, there's three things you can do. You alluded to two of them. One, lineup changes. Two, simplify. Or three, you know, when you have a bunch of guys go down, recreate. And you know, the recreates are usually are short-lived with success. We just have to do what we do better.
Is the expectation that Jerry Jeudy will definitely be back in the starting lineup on next game against
Washington? Yeah, I think the expectation is he will play this game. He was medically cleared to play this game, this past game. He wanted to play. We didn't think it was prudent to play him with no practice.
What do you think the biggest thing he'll do for the offense is when he's back on the field with the attention that he draws?
Well, it's just another good player out there. And the more good players you have out there, the better chance you have. And he's definitely a good receiver, runs good routes, can get open, and we're looking forward to having him back.
What have you seen from...
Go ahead, Jeff.
Always very sort of detail focused.
Right.
When the disconnect happens, what is it? Are they not hearing the message? Is it delivery, or what do you think happens in those cases?
I think it's a lot of things, but I think some of it too is guys start to press, you know, when things aren't going right and maybe try and do too much and fudge a little bit here and there, and we constantly have to fight against that.
When you look, you said last night Teddy's the quarterback. When you look at his play over the last 3 or 4 weeks, does he still look similar to how he did the first 3 weeks? And if not, how do you get him back to playing at that level?
Yeah, I think he does. Obviously, he's been didn't finish the Baltimore game right. Got banged around last week. Was a little hobbled this week. But I thought he put together a courageous effort and was out there playing. And I still see the same player. We just have to play better as a team, you know. And then other guys, everybody's performance will look a little better.
Have you had
if we can get off the field quicker on defense, we give the offense more opportunities. If we can convert some third downs, we get more opportunities on offense. If we can run it and throw it better on the early downs, we get more opportunities. So it's a team-wide issue right now. And once we can rectify some of that, everybody else's performance will look better.
Have you talked to George at all? Just had a big deep dive discussion, and anything you can share?
Yeah, I've talked to George, talked to John, talked to Joe. Yeah, we've talked, and all very constructive and productive, and we all want the same thing. We want to get this team back to winning.
Do you anticipate Albert O returning to practice next week?
Yes.
And then is it usually, do you still like having a week of practice and then playing?
We'll see where he's at. You know, there was some hope when he first got hurt that he would only miss two games, but with the third game being a Thursday game, we put him on IR for that. He wouldn't have been able to play last night if we didn't IR him. And we'll see where he's at this week. Hopefully he'll be good.
Surtain had a couple of pass breakups last night and another good coverage down the field. What's impressed you most?
Yeah, his coverage was very good last night, and it's been good all season. He's a very impressive player. We got to get him tackling better against the run. Run defense is an 11-man operation, and we got to get all 11 in sync.
With the pass rush, what do you think needs to improve there, especially over these last three games, four games that you look at?
Well, we got to do a better job against the run to get more pass rush opportunities. You know, they had 6 third-and-1s and 2 third-and-2s or 3s. You know, those aren't ideal pass rush situations. So when you're struggling against the run, it has an avalanche effect on everything, and pass rush is one of them.
Where's that balance when you're struggling to make sure guys are taking it personally, but you don't want to browbeat them either when you're in a four-game losing streak and create, you know, guys are demoralized? What is that balance as a coach?
It's a fine line. There's a bunch of fine lines you have to deal with when you're coaching, especially in today's game. And hopefully we as a staff will manipulate that fine line the right way.
Nick, was the plan going in to only play Kyle Fuller if a medical reason dictated?
Yeah, right now we're playing Pat and Darbs at corner.
Nick, when you look at the interception that Teddy threw, do you think he could step into his throw? Is his health affecting the deeper throws?
I didn't think so on that particular play. I think what happened on that play, it was 3rd-and-9, and they had a coverage where the intermediate stuff was covered, and he didn't want to check it down, and he got aggressive and went for it, and the safety fell back there.
after his reps and talk to the trainers?
Yeah, he hurt his thumb and wrist a little bit, yes. Don't know his status.
Just last one on Purcell. If he has surgery, does that mean he's definitely out for a bit, or could he play with that, with the thumb injury? Mike Purcell.
You know, the way it was explained to me today, they're not sure. But in either case, whenever he does play with it, he'll have a cast on his hand.
Thank you,
D. Lyman is rough.
Okay. Your reaction.
I mean, are you kidding me? Seriously, just are you kidding me? First off, let me give a little bit of credit to Mike Kliss, because those were about the only questions that I was really curious to hear the answers to. And Vic Fangio didn't address them. Well, I guess he did address them. He just addressed it in a manner that it wasn't what I wanted to hear. No, they're not changing anything. There is not jack squat that is getting changed right now. They're not changing scheme. They're not changing players. They're going to go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals. They got to do what they do, and they got to do it better.
There was one pretty significant change, and that the message was communicated with Fangio that today, when you go out there, you best say we, not they. Mm. And you best put yourself and the coaches in this thing together as the first people who are responsible for the players. That is a change. That has absolutely been made clear to him. Don't think Fangio came up with that himself. And to me, what that indicates, Tyler, is he's been put on notice. And my guess is because it's we. My guess is, coach, you got three games. Washington at home, Dallas on the road, Philly at home. And my man, if you can't get it turned around in these three games before our bye week, we'll make the changes for you. Because he has been talking to Elway, to Ellis, to Peyton. And that's what I think is going on right now. Okay, coach, we'll do it your way. Start saying we, not they, and you got three games.
That's a good observation. I honestly did not pick up on that specific observation. That's a good observation. I've got one other. There is potentially going to be one scapegoat that I picked up on.
Really?
And I'll tell you about that coming up next.
All right. Water cooler's next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
I would have liked to have been at that press conference.
Yeah, I know you would have. I know you would have asked good questions, too, and I'm not even kidding.
Oh, I would have been.
I know for a fact you would have.
I would have been direct.
Yep.
I would have simply said, coach, nobody thinks this is acceptable. What changes do you anticipate making?
Yep. No, I know for sure you would have asked a great question.
And if the answer was no, I wouldn't have deferred at that option sometimes. And I really, not Troy asked a direct question. Kliss asked to sort of got to a direct question. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, Mike Purcell's thumb, I mean, a bummer and all that, but, I mean, you got to be kidding me.
You know, it was definitely not the tone that I thought it was going to be. I thought that was going to be one of the most aggressive pressers that I've heard in recent history. Okay, whatever. It wasn't.
How about this question? Did you have a conversation with George Payton about you retaining your job today?
Well, yeah. And I think the answer to that, had that been asked, is yes. If you listen to the tone of that presser, that was very, very different than every other presser Vic Fangio has ever had. Number one, did the dude catch COVID? I don't know.
He
didn't sound good.
Terrible.
You know, that could be a number of things.
That's funny. I wrote down top Fangio sick question mark.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, that could be a number of things. That could be, just the season starting to catch up to him. It was late night, didn't get any sleep. It could be you're going through tough conversations. all those things could lead towards a voice that sounds like that. He sounded as unconfident as I've heard him in recent history. 100%, I do believe that he had a talking to from George Payton. Whether he was put on notice or not, I don't know. That would have been a very good direct question. I don't know if he was literally put on notice, but I do feel very confident just based off the tone that he was talked to, right? Something was mentioned to him. I asked you right before the presser if there would be like the biggest cop out, the biggest cop out change, what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, I definitely don't want to start any sort of firestorm here if I'm wrong. So let me start by saying I hope I'm wrong, because I absolutely 100% fundamentally disagree if this is the direction that I think it might be going in.
Okay.
But based off the tone that the questions that were asked, there was only one coach that he even remotely hinted at that things were not acceptable. Do you know who that was?
Oh, man. I was taking notes and everything. I don't know.
Lauren Lando.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think that would be a huge, huge cop-out. And 100%.
Would be a cop-out.
100%.
That's for
I
sure.
I hope that I am wrong, because this is not a Homer-like relationship to Lauren Landau. This is an experienced relationship that I have with Lauren Landau. This is me telling you from personal experience that this is the best strength coach that I've ever been around, that I know for a fact that his system is designed specifically to prevent these sort of soft tissue injuries. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that has happened has not been Lauren's fault. It 100% has been football. Football happens.
Oh my
football
God.
Happens.
I didn't even think of that.
But if you think about it, Rich, I don't know if you had a second to isolate it. Did you have it?
Yeah.
Here's the response when he was asked about Lauren Landau. And just you tell me, what does his tone sound like?
You've had a lot of soft tissue injuries. Do you look at Lando's operation and see if there's anything that can be tweaked there? Do you look at it like you look at anything else in your team?
Yeah, we look at everything. I mean, as you guys know, we took a deep dive on the injuries this offseason. We've done anything and everything we can to mitigate injuries. We haven't mitigated them enough, obviously. But we do look at it constantly, yes.
You know, maybe I'm picking up on too much there, but it just felt like it was the only coach that he even remotely acknowledged that we've got an issue going on. So, hey, man, I hope I'm wrong, and I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart, because I know for a fact that Lauren is the best in the business, and what's going on right now is unrelated to him. I know why people would point the finger. I know why people would ask the question. I think it was a fair question. I got a vibe from him that if he needed a cop-out, that felt like, hey, man, that would be an easy, dumb cop-out.
Oh, my God. If that's the change they make, that is pathetic.
Right?
I see where you're going. Like,
hey, just tell me I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I was just picking up on nothing, and there's nothing there.
Well, we're in the trouble we're in because of injuries, and the reason why we have injuries is we haven't been training the players the right way.
That's sort of what it felt like.
That would be the cop-out.
It was the only
out.
Finger that was pointed. Everything else was, yeah, we got to do better. You're right. He changed his tone. We've got to coach better. The very first question was asked about the fundamentals of the defense. And he did take credit for that, sort of, I believe. I mean, I can't remember what the first question was directly, but his response was, well, the fundamentals of the defense was just very, very poor. And at the end of the day, that does come down to us as coaches. We need to coach better. We need to coach the fundamentals into them better.
The quote was poor coaching on our part in regards to the defense.
Right.
Poor coaching on our part.
And that was a different tone today than he's had previously. Oh. It was a collective we. It just felt like there was a separation there.
It was the we presser.
Yeah.
It was the wee-wee. It was the wee-wee presser, which goes great with the death spiral. Perfect. Perfect. It's the wee-wee press conference.
I don't know. Some people on the text line are saying we're dreaming, that there's no chance that he had a talking to. That didn't sound like he had a talking to.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Let me tell you. There's certain...
Give me the reasons. Tell me. Point out the differences.
You're just, I guess on this one, gonna have to trust me that it is so beyond obvious to me that things were made clear to Vic. I mean, it's beyond obvious. And you're just going to have to roll with me, I guess, on this, Tyler, because I can't really go much more specific than that. But to me, when I'm listening to this, I'm laughing to myself because I know he's been talked to. I don't think it. I know it based on other stuff leading up to what I just heard. It's a coach who's on notice right now. And you know what? They're giving him this little mini bye. It's a soft schedule with Washington at Dallas, tough game, home against Philly. That is 2 out of 3 games that you could win, which would put you at a 5-5 record going in the bye. And let's see what's what. Okay? But, you know, and maybe it's just one game. Seriously, maybe it is just one game because you got no excuses to lose to Washington. You got nothing. Zero. Zippo. To lose, he had plenty of excuses for a short week at Cleveland. Loads of excuses.
Well, here's why I feel like he had to talk to. Every other time he's walked up after a loss, he's still had the Vic Fangio sort of cocky, dismissive attitude of any question that was asked towards him. Today, the tone felt depressed. Today, the tone felt like either I recognize the reality, I recognize the pressure that's in front of me. Or I've been directly told these things.
Well, the insider's insider is our guy, Mike Kliss. Let's talk to him next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Is the expectation is changes, anything like that in light of the slump?
In regards to what?
Well, operationally with the coaching staff, working with the players.
Yeah, no, not at this time.
To inspire, I guess.
We always try and do a better job of inspiring them. I don't have a problem with our efforts or our intents. We just have to do a better job of coaching these guys to be more fundamentally sound.
I call it the, what'd you say, question dodge. When you ask somebody about something, they absolutely know what you're talking about. Because you haven't made it just crystal clear enough, they pretend they don't know what the hell you just asked. And with that, we bring on Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, I certainly knew what you were asking when you talked about changes. Vic pretended that he didn't. And we got the wee press conference where all of a sudden it was we. With no changes officially announced. That's my impression. Yeah. Mike, you were there. You were one of the few people that asked about any changes that are going to happen. What were your impressions?
Yeah, well, first of all, they talked. The grand poobahs talked. Joe, George Payton, John Elway, Vic, they all had talks about things, and when those occurred, I'm not sure, but Vic said they're all constructive and productive and they all want the same thing. And I'm sure that is the case. There won't be any changes this week. I would say it would be very interesting if the Broncos don't beat Washington. I think if they lose to Washington, I think, like, you know, a lot of people think that those conversations will be different if they all gather next week. And, you know, I don't know if Fangio's coaching for his job this week, but I do think Vic, you know, understands the magnitude. He understands he's on the hot seat and he's trying to win a game to save his job, you know, not only for the team, but to save his job. And that's where he's at this week. And we'll see if he can figure it out, because the team just doesn't, and I asked about being inspired there. The team does not seem inspired. There does seem to be a disconnect between whatever message the coaches are trying to give the players and for them to come out there and be ready and prepared for the start of a game. I'm talking just about the start. They do have fight. You know, I give the Broncos that. They don't quit. They don't give up. but they lack inspiration. They don't play with it, the intensity or inspiration. They're kind of an emotionalist team, it looks like, out there. And the other team is bringing it. And they're getting whipped early in the game, and that's setting the tone for the entire game.
Mike, I thought Fangio sounded a little bit more depressed than usual. He usually sounds a little bit cocky, maybe a little bit defiant, but he sounded depressed. I'm curious, in your opinion, do you think that he had a talking to before that presser?
No, I don't think he had a talking to, but I guess now that you mention it, I agree with you. He was somber. You know, I don't know about depressed, but he was somber. And he knows the team is stinking, and if the team is stinking, so's the head coach. And, you know, I think he feels bad about it. You know, that's the whole thing. I think he feels bad about how the team is performing. And, you know, I think Vic's long been a real good NFL coach. And through most of his career, he's received mostly, you know, plaudits for how he's coached. You know, he is generally recognized as one of the best defensive coordinators, you know, obviously not lately, but for most of his career, he's been considered a defensive genius. Now, since he's come here to Denver, he has not, he's received some heavy criticism as a coach. And, you know, I'm sure that bums him out. I don't know about depressed, but it definitely bums him out.
Well, listen, I can't prove this, Mike, but in my opinion, it definitely sounded like he had a talking to. So I don't know. Different takeaways for sure. But I guess I'll ask you this. There's still 10 days until the next game. What he said today doesn't necessarily have to be true on Monday, on Tuesday. Something still can change. And if something were to change, what do you think would be the most likely scapegoat scenario?
Well, you know, I think like everybody's saying, you know, the guy's in the crosshairs if you're going to make a change. And by the way, I'm not, you know, the whole thing about making a change, I'm not for during the season, because I jump right to the interim coach, and the interim coaches, it always goes from bad to worse. It never goes, and the Raiders are a different situation. That, you know, they didn't lose their coach because he was you know, no good as a coach. He got hired. He got removed because he's no good as a, you know, as a person. And so that interim situation's not a bad deal. But, you know, you fire Vic next week. Or the week after, and then Mike Munchak becomes the coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, the players check out. Tyler, you've been part of an interim situation before.
I actually never have, Mike. I've had somebody fired after the season. I was released in training camp the year that Josh was fired.
Tyler gets coaches fired.
Yeah, that's usually like I get Mike Shanahan specifically fired. Like anywhere he takes me, I'd get him fired. Yeah.
You know, I remember that now. I still remember you running 50 yards downfield in that season.
That's right.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yep, yep.
you and Stokely, right?
Right, that's right. And Ben Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't mess with Columbus and Stokely or you wind up being a fired coach. But, you know, Fangio and Shurmur are the two coaches in the crosshairs, and you know, I don't know. I just think, you know, after the season, in the season, whatever, you know, just to calm the natives, you know, so everyone puts down the pitchforks. I mean, that's fine, and it does show if they do make that move, it does show that. You know, you have to be accountable and that the way things are going are not acceptable by the Denver Broncos organization. So you have that.
Go ahead.
My prediction is the team goes into a deep dive after they make a move, if they do make a move.
What kind of dive would that be, Mike? Would it be a death spiral. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
Okay. Mike Liss not having our foolishness. Mike Liss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Del Frisco's. I cannot speak highly enough of Del's. This was such a surprise. Usually we have Victory Mondays or Consolation Mondays, but the game was on a Thursday. What a treat to have Del Frisco's on a Friday. Are you kidding me, Tyler?
Man, not even on my radar today. I guess I just wasn't thinking about it. We had Thursday.
I'm off schedule here.
But man, am I grateful.
Oh, my God. And some salads with some grilled chicken and still the steaks and the burgers, and it's all fantastic. Fish, incredible. But they're kind of mixing it up a little bit here.
They said that they were giving us a change up in the meals so that potentially that'll change up the mojo around here.
Boy, they got it all, man. Del Frisco's, if you're thinking about it this weekend, at I-25 in Orchard, that's the closest one, although they got one in Cherry Creek there, too. Thank you, Del Frisco's, man. We couldn't do it without you. The football at 4, the wee-wee presser. The big takeaways from that coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.